You know, you study and pray, but ain't nothing like going to church. Sickness comes to all of us, but, you know, I never want to use that for an excuse to not be in God's house and try to do what little I can do. A lot of singing tonight about being little, and this morning, you know, I'm just glad I'm a part of this church. And to hear the message I heard this morning about Hosea, you know, and I thought about it all day, and I really almost just wanted to preach on that tonight, but the Lord said no. But when Jeff was reading the scripture this morning, and I told him later on, I may just teach tonight, and if I get to preaching, you know, and if I get to coughing, y'all just pray for us, but still not 100%, but don't want to make excuses. But Jeff was reading, and what just stirred my soul, thinking about the love that God has for his church. And I want to go back and read just one thing before I get into what the Lord's laid on my heart tonight. But Jeff was reading in chapter 3 of Hosea, and maybe this is a little bit of recap, but Jeff read verse 1. He said, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend." And he didn't really hit that. And I just kept thinking about, you know, what he was preaching on. Even before he preached it, I wrote down several things, Brother Darrell, that the Lord had given me before he even read the scripture, just turning over there and reading it. And the first thing that God showed me was the love. It said, go yet love a woman. It's different than saying you like somebody. Now, the young people today use that word carelessly. And they talk about love, and they really don't even know what it is. I love my wife. I've loved her for 40-something years. I really just fell in love with her because the type of situation we was in. And, you know, I don't think Vicky cared too much for me at that time. And, you know, and probably rightly so. Probably she was right, Leah. I mean, you know, because the way that I was living. But, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, Glenn. Vicky was not even saved. And Darrell, you know, and I thought she was saved. You know, and she was raised in church, got a good mama. I love her mother. I mean, she's precious to me. And you know, she raised Vicky right. But, you know, people go to church all their life and they're not saved. I mean, and they're taught the Word of God, and they're preached to them, and they go to Sunday school, Sean, but they don't know they'll have a personal relationship with the Lord. And then he said, go love that woman, beloved of her friend. And I just kept, it just fired me up, Brother Darrell, the fact that nobody ever preaches this. And it said, beloved of her friend. Who was that friend? It doesn't say who that friend was. I don't know if I'll get anywhere else tonight or not. But this woman who was, you know, it says she was a harlot. And, you know, and it said an adulteress. She still had a friend. Now, I got a call this afternoon to go somewhere else and preach, but I really felt led to be here tonight. I've told Jeff sometimes I just have to book myself to be at Welcome Grove. I love my church, Ann. I love the people in this church. But you know one reason I love you? Because y'all have showed your friendship to me. You just, it's just not lip service. I believe this woman had a friend. It said, beloved. You know, there's a difference in the word love and beloved. And I thought about, even though she was an adulteress, even though that maybe people laughed at her and made fun of her and mocked her, Ryan, she still had a friend. You know how you win people to the Lord? You become their friend. You will never win anybody to the Lord until you become their friend. I tell you, I mean, I miss my job. I miss the friends I've got. They call. One called yesterday. They call me virtually. Somebody from that company calls me every week. And you know why they call me? Because I am their friend. They'll tell me, said, you've been a friend to me. Thomas, if you're not going to be my friend, then I can't count on you. But I'm telling you, I'm glad we've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
And we're beloved of him, amen. And God, people want to talk about, but I believe it's talking about Jesus right here. You know, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You brought that out in Sunday school this morning or somewhere. I thought about begotten, and not just any son, the only begotten son. And I thought about that today, that we've got a friend. And I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I won't stand long, and I'm trying my best to always just do what God said and then get out of the way. But I'm glad I've got a friend like that. When Vicki was lost, she found out who that friend was at Brown's Chapel Baptist Church. She found out that even though she had a husband or a man in the house, when she got saved, she realized something had changed in her life. When you have a personal relationship, and young people, don't care, just throw that word out anytime. Don't just say, I love you, and I love you, and I love you. If you don't love them, and you don't know what love is, you know why there's so many divorces today? Because it's lust and not love. The young people today think that's a type of love. Lust is not love. Love is a commitment that God had for his son to have for us, amen. Now I'll get to that in a minute, but turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Y'all just pray for us tonight. I may not get real excited tonight because I already started coughing. This will pass. It'll pass. But I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to start in verse 17 and go to the first verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, everybody takes that verse and uses that at New Year's. And they talk about what's happened in the last year. Well, everybody in here hadn't had a real great year. A lot of us have had health problems. DB's got a bandage on his neck right now. They've been cutting on him. They've been cutting on me. They'll be cutting on you one day if the Lord don't come. And because all they're trying to do is trying to help you. But let me tell you something. That's not what this is talking about. If any man be in Christ, he is new. Now, a lot of people talk about throwing away the old things and going to the new things. I don't like that. I like the old things. I like the old path in Jeremiah chapter 6. Seek you out the old paths and walk therein. Read the whole verse that said we're not going to do that. Well, that's where we're at today, as Jeff was bringing out in Sunday school this morning. And if you don't get to go to Sunday school, you miss something every time. Now, Daryl don't get to teach half the time. And I told him, I said, and he's a good teacher. He studies and prays and I like to hear him teach. But sometimes we get so fired up in there, and I did, it wasn't me this morning. It was Jeff. But I'm going to tell you something. But Thomas, you started it this morning. You know what? If you want to get in a good meeting, let somebody be a fire starter. I like what you said this morning. It's talking about studying, how to study. The Old Testament is the schoolmaster for the New Testament. A lot of people want to throw the Old Testament out saying, oh, the law, the law, the law, the law. Well, if we didn't have the law, we wouldn't have any law. We wouldn't have anybody up and telling you when you run a stop sign or a red light. We need the law. But we don't live under the law as far as the Old Testament because we're under grace. But you still need the old things to teach you what the new things are. Old things are passed away. And I thought about this, that I don't intend to change, but I intend to progress in my Christian growth. I like new songs. Nicole sings some of them. Vicki sings some of them. But I also like the old song. I like it all as long as the Spirit's in it. And if you take what's the Spirit's in, me and Daryl talked about it a little bit after Sunday school, and the reason a lot of times you don't have good meetings is because people are not spiritually discerned. I got a call from a pastor today, and he said he had to set some things in order in his church. He said because they got to where they were talking, it was just tradition. You know, they would start singing, or they'd have prayer, they'd take up the offering, and all that. And he was excited, and he said the Lord really got a hold of it. You know, a lot of times we don't need to wait to 6:30 or 11:30 to put the preacher up. Sometimes he needs to get up at 11:15 or 11:10. Sometimes we don't need any singing. Sometimes we need a lot of singing. But we need to be spiritually discerned. The things that we've seen in the past teach us what we need to do in the future. Old things that I have seen in my Christian walk have helped me. I talked to Darrell about Horace Johnson. They considered him an old, ignorant country boy. But I saw more people saved under that man than any preacher I've sat under yet. And you know what? He didn't have but about 3 or 4 messages. Most of the time he preached on, you must be born again. How many times do we hear that, Darrell? Hundreds? I mean, he was over there for years and years. But guess what? Every time he come into service, somebody was lost. There's somebody in this church tonight that's lost. You can count on it. You must be born again. And if you're, you know, I don't care if you've been raised in church. Ryan was raised in church, went to a Christian school, but he did not have a personal relationship with Jesus. You knew it, Ryan. You didn't hide it. You didn't try to sugarcoat it. You know, Ryan, I love him as an example, to use him as an example, because I know it don't bother him. He's grown enough now. But, and, you know, my wife don't like me calling names when I'm in the pulpit, but it don't bother me. You know, it's like she just have to get over some stuff. But, you know, Ryan did not feign who he was. He recognized that he was lost. He was a good boy. He was a good, I mean, everybody said, well, if that boy ain't saved, I mean, ain't nobody else going to get him. That's not the way it works, folks. He's got to get inside of you. And the first thing he does, he points you to the fact that you are lost. You'll never get saved until you realize you're lost. You can go to church 3 times a week and still be lost. And you put on a good front of everybody. Yeah, he looks like a Christian. She looks like a Christian. But if you're not saved, it'll show up on you sooner or later. Because you're going to get in a situation where you're going to really need that friend. Amen. It said, and therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, it said that old things will pass away. Let's go over to verse number 1. And I want you to sing 220, John. I've been in that song. I think it's the love of God. I think it's 220. In fact, if you don't mind singing that in a few minutes, I'll be done in a minute. But I want to leave you a few things that God showed me in this message. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, I've read this at funerals a lot of times, and so has a lot of preachers. But this ain't a funeral. This is a service. For in this we groan. A lot of people are not groaning. You know what it means when you groan and you've got a burden? You know why we're not seeing more people saved? We don't have the burden. If you want to see people saved, Brother Glenn, you got to have a burden for them. That means when you lay down at night and everything's fine with you, Glenn, you had a good day. I mean, work's good. You got plenty of money. The family's, the kids doing good. Everybody's doing good. Now you got a new son-in-law, all these things. These are good things, but you need to have a burden for somebody you work with or somebody that's in church. I got a burden for somebody here tonight. They don't even know it. I ain't told them and won't tell them unless the Lord tells me, but I got a burden for them, amen. I'm groaning about it. This last couple of weeks that I was sick, and I was praying and studying, Brother Darrell, I began to recap this past year, and I said, Lord, even though all this suffering that we've had to do, and I know a lot of people in here knows what it's like to suffer in the body, but I'm going to tell you something, it's all worth it when you come down and say, Lord, you've been so good to me. You've allowed me to preach revivals and preach in different churches. Let me just tell you how good he's been to me. Just a couple of weeks ago before I got sick, I was preaching in a church in Cherokee County. Brother Jeff, that I hadn't been in over 10 years. Vicky said it was 7. It was 10 because some of the members said it's been 10 years since you've been here. God said go. I didn't go up there to preach. I didn't come down here tonight to preach. But I'm telling you, I was ready to preach. And when I preached, say some good things happened. But a dear lady come up to me after service, said, do you remember me? And I said, ma'am, I remember your face. She said, do you remember the last time you was here? And I said, well, I think I did a revival here about 10 years. She said, no, you preached after that, a Sunday morning. She said, do you remember a young teenage girl coming to the altar, and another young teenage boy on the other side of the altar. I said, I do remember that service. And I said, I remember that young teenage girl got saved. She said, that was my daughter. 10 years hearing that. I mean, I remember her getting saved, but she said she'll have a fit to know that you was here this morning. She said now she's got 4 kids. She's raising them in church. Her husband's saved. This don't ever get old to me. I mean, if I could just have a little part, Tracy, and somebody getting saved, and somebody telling me a good report, like, it wasn't about me. It was the fact that when I went in there, Glenn, I had something to help them with. Wherever you go, you've got somebody on the inside that'll help you, amen, to help somebody else. Everybody uses this verse talking about the new body, and that's what it's talking about. But I want to preach it a little bit different. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that we, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us, the same self thing is God, who hath also given us to thee what? The earnest of the Spirit, Brother Darren. You know how come, Ryan, I'm going to single you out tonight. You know you're saved. You know you're saved. Darrell, you know you're saved. You, Jeff, you know you're saved. John, you know you're saved. Thomas, you know you're saved. You know how come you really know? The Spirit. There's somebody that moved on in the inside with you. His name is the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus said when he was going away in John chapter 14, he said, I'm going away, but I'm going to pray the Father that he'll send you another comforter. You know who your best friend down here is? It's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He woke me up Friday morning, and I tell you, I said, I'm so tired of being sick, so tired of coughing, amen. And he began to just saturate me. And he just began to just engulf me, Regina. And I said, I ain't done anything good this week, Lord. I mean, I ain't done anything bad as far as I know. But I said, what did I deserve? He said, I just wanted to show you how much I love you. How much I appreciate what you've done this year, this last year. That's what he was showing me. He was thanking me for being faithful in spite of what I went through. If your kids don't do right, your grandchildren don't do right, if your family and friends don't do right, you can still do right, amen, because you got somebody on the inside. Now, this is talking about the old man and the old body. But I got news for you. He's already in there. Bless it, Lord. He's there now. You remember the story about, I can't get all this because I'm already give out. But y'all know the story about Martha and Mary? They said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Y'all know the story. Somebody knows the story in here. And the Bible said, hey, the first thing they want to do is criticize the Lord for not coming 4 days earlier. That's the way it is a lot of times. People want to criticize the old things that's brought them into the new thing. Just take what he gave you in the old things and bring them into the new, amen. You got a new job. I'm not going to work anymore, don't look like. So be it. That's the way life goes, glory to God. But I'm not going to forget about the old things that God has done for me to prepare me for what's coming, amen. That old man died. He died when I got saved. He died out to the love and practice of sin, but I've still got the flesh to contend with. As long as I've got the flesh, I'm going to have a battle. My greatest battle's not with the devil, though he's my adversary. It's with Randy. Randy's the problem a lot of times. You know your greatest problems is? Look in the mirror sometimes. Look in the mirror when you start finding fault with Welcome Grove or the preacher or the singer or whatever. I'm glad we've got what we've got over here. Sometimes it's flat. I'm just being honest with you. There ain't no other way to say it. Sometimes, Regina, you sit there like, oh, I'm playing and playing. Is anybody really listening? Am I telling the truth? Sometimes Jeff's preaching and you could drop a pin in here, you know. But Jeff, we're listening. We're listening to you, son. And every time, it ain't everybody that hollers the loudest that's got the most spirit. Sometimes a man or a woman of God is sitting there praying. But when that woman told me that the other day, it set me on fire. I said, maybe I've done a few things right, amen, Ryan. And the spirit began to overwhelm me. And he took me back through this year when that young teenage boy got saved at Step Creek. I begged and I pleaded and I begged and I pleaded. He just would not move. He raised his hand that he was lost. None, but he wouldn't move. And y'all do what you want to. I don't go back to folks. I'm not going to drag people in the altar. If the Lord can't get them in there and they don't come by faith, there ain't nothing good I can do. I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to offend them, amen. You're going to push them out. Let the Lord bring them in, amen. If they'll come one step by faith, like Vicki said in her testimony, she took that one step by faith. I love to hear her testify about it. See, that's my pride. I love to hear her talk about the Lord. And she said it seemed like every step she took, the sins was just falling off of her. Y'all ever heard her say that? They were. Because when she took that one step by faith, God's already done doing some things already, Ryan. And when you got saved and I prayed for you so long, and the devil said, well, he ain't ever going to get saved. I mean, he's got a greatest preacher, one of the greatest preachers going. He's got a good mama, and you know, he's got a good family. But you know what? I never gave up on you. I said, you know, when Ryan gets it, he'll get it, amen. And when he gets it, everybody else will know it, amen. Tell somebody about it, Ryan. Tell them, say, hey, I remember that day the Lord saved me. Jeff, I didn't get to be here. But Jeff couldn't wait to call me that afternoon. I was off preaching, and he told me how it happened. I said, oh, that's good. He didn't want to be left out. He wanted to be part of the family of God. And that's how you get saved, amen. You got to want this. People got to want to get saved. Old things have passed away. I thought about the tabernacle. Y'all come on, John, so I can quit. I've already stood longer than I thought I would. I thought about that tabernacle. I want to just hit that real quick. Y'all remember a few years ago I taught on the tabernacle? Lord bless us to teach on the tabernacle. Thomas, I know you know what the tabernacle is. Darrell, some of y'all, DB. The tabernacle was nothing but a portable tent. That tent was where they went to talk to God. Outside of the tabernacle was an altar. You study it out. They didn't get to go in there. They had to, only the high priest could go in there once a year, Glenn, and make petition for their sins and offer the blood. They didn't get to go in. They only got to go on the outside. But now we get to go on the inside. You know why? Because the holiest of holies is living inside of us. See, God's already done enough for me. If he never used me or did anything else for me, not. I say I've been one of the most blessed men. Vicki was singing about being little. I've always said it. God didn't choose Israel because it was the most or the greatest. He chose it because they were least, the least of all the people, Thomas. That's what he does. He takes little people like us and he uses them, amen. By the way, all that does is make God greater and bigger when he uses little people like us. But that tabernacle was divided out. There was a partition in there. There was a veil inside there. And they couldn't get in there, Brother Darrell. But I'm so glad that he said, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved. Now, a lot of preachers will preach this, and I don't. So if you believe this, don't get on me, because this is the way I believe. They'll preach that new body is the mansion that the Lord was talking about in John 14. I don't believe that. I believe we are going to get a new body. I do believe that, but I don't believe that's the mansions he was talking about. You study that word out, mansion, it's talking about rooms, amen. Study it out. And when he said, there's going to be room for us, amen. You know what? Everybody said, well, God couldn't possibly give everybody a mansion. Why not? The Bible said, is anything too hard for the Lord? It don't have to be. Me and Vicky's going to downsize. If the Lord tarries, we're going to downsize. Hopefully, we'll finally get an empty house one of these days. We've always had children, grandchildren, a family, whatever. It don't bother us. But I said, honey, we need to downsize. Maybe that'll push some of them the rest to get their own places, amen. You can get that on the way home. But I'm going to tell you something, glory to God. It's not meant for the children to stay with you all the time. They've got to grow up. They've got to get their own place. Amen. They've got to stand on their own 2 feet. I don't care what Obama said. I keep them on you in church or whatever. I'm telling you, glory to God, I wasn't raised that way. Amen. I was raised this way. Mama said, I'll get you through school. Then you got 3 choices. You can go to college, which I had the grades to do, or you can go to work, or you can go to the army. Does that sound like I was going to be able to stay in Mama's house? Mama was letting me know, son, I've done raised you. Now it's time for you to stand on your own 2 feet. We need a generation today that'll stand on their own 2 feet and not depend on their mom and dad to do everything. We can be their friend, Glenn. But they got to stand up for themselves. They got to understand that we that are getting a little older now, I said a little, Ann, a little older, I love you. You're a blessing to me. She helps me. I listen more than she thinks I do. But the old things that we are going to be leaving behind one day, I want this next generation to say, hey, that worked with Brother Jeff. That worked with Brother Darrell. That worked with Brother Don. That worked with Brother Randy. How many people have we seen saved, amen, in this church? Hundreds, no doubt. I've been coming over here since the 80s. Nothing's changed. Preachers come and go. Deacons come and go. Members come and go. But the Lord is still saving people in this place, amen. Because people will have a burden and they're holding on, as DB was singing. DB, you talked about it. It was flat. It was dry when you got up there. But you know what? People were waiting on. They was waiting on the Spirit to start moving. He will move. He's not. Darrell was talking about him hovering and different things over the face of the earth, the water and all this stuff. Let me tell you something about the Spirit of God. He's moving. He flows from breast to breast. When I get my new body, Vicki says she's seen me get excited, and I'm not as bored as I was as a younger man, but you hadn't seen nothing yet. When I get that new body, nothing is going to restrain me. I'm restrained by this flesh, Thomas. This is what's restraining me tonight, keeping me from just getting up and running. I know better. I know I'd probably fall. I know something would happen. But I'm telling you, wisdom is justified of her children, amen. I hope to God I've learned a few things this year. But I want to ask you tonight, if you stand to your feet, Jeff, come on up. Don't throw out the old. And say, I want some new things. Hold on to what God has gave you, Darrell. Don't let go of it. Just grow. The Lord has taken, I preach more out of the Old Testament than I do the New Testament, Bookie. You know why? Because that Old Testament teaches me how to live in the New Testament. I know that the battle's going to come this year. I know that sickness is going to come. I know we're probably going to get some bad news from somebody in this church. That somebody's got cancer. Somebody's in the hospital. Somebody might be on their deathbed. You know what, I always look at it like this, Darrell. I said, they're just one step closer to glory. Something's going to take us home, Glenn. If you hear about this year that he's down, he's not going to make it, say, no, he's not down. He's getting ready to make the crossing. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want everybody just to bow their head right now, nobody looking.